Good morning. How are you? I'm glad. How was your week? It was? Busy? Oh, I'm not surprised. Was yours busy too? Oh, good. Is that a good busy or a bad busy? Oh, good. I'm glad. Mine was busy too. I think it was a good busy. I'm not quite sure. Okay. I do have an announcement. We are going to have a shorter message today because it is Mother's Day. And at the end, we're going to give everyone who would like an opportunity to come up and say why their mother is so awesome and or tell a story, a short one, tell a story about that shows how awesome their mother is and how loving and wonderful she was. So just please start thinking about them now. Because the service will end way too soon if no one has anything to say about their mothers. Okay? I mean, the restaurants won't be open that early. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers. Thank you so much for giving us mothers. Thank you for everything they do, and thank you for all the gifts they've given us, for life itself. Thank you. They are sacred vessels of your creative power. In your name, Jesus, amen. Oh, wow. Well, today is Mother's Day, and that got me thinking about the mother of mothers, the Virgin Mary. And with that in mind, I thought we should go to John, the passage that was read today. So with that in mind, let's go back to John chapter 2. This is Jesus' first miracle. It's a really famous miracle. And Nora read it. And I think the thing I love about this story is that it shows us that we honor our mothers because they're the ones who see things in us before anyone else does. In Luke chapter 2, verses 2:19, when after the wise men came and they found, you know, baby Jesus lying in the manger, they told them all, the shepherds told Mary and Joseph all these amazing things they saw with the angels. And Mary just treasured these in her heart. And she's like, these things matter. I'm going to remember these. And because she treasured these things in her heart, she did see things in Jesus and knew when things were happening before anyone else did. Chapter 2 of John, verse 1. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Okay, do we know when the third day is? When's the third day? Which day is the third day? What? Tuesday. Very good. How did you know? Oh, right. Okay, so the last day of the week is the Sabbath on Saturday. And then the first day is Monday. And then the second day is... No, first day is Sunday. Second day is Monday. And the third day is Tuesday. Yeah. And this is very consistent with Jewish culture, even to this day. They always get married on the third day of the week, which is a Tuesday. Do we know why? Okay, well, in Genesis 1:1, Tuesday, what was created on the third day? Does anyone know what was created on the third day? The birds and the bees. Thank you, Mickey. Every congregation has one, I swear. All right, okay. Pray for him, Lord. All right, and then let your eye land up here. Okay, so starting in verse 9, and God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the seas he called waters. In verse 10, and God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, and seed with seed in them on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with the seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. The third day is the only day that God saw that it was good twice. Very, very good. And so weddings, since they're all about new life, weddings are on the third day because God sees that marriage is good twice too. All right? That's why, and this has been a tradition for years. So even back then. Okay? And Jesus was invited, and his disciples also. And when the wine gave out, well, sounds like quite a wedding when the wine gives out, you know. Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." Now clearly, even Jesus knew better than to say woman to his mom like that, because he quickly changed his mind and did what she said, as you can see between verses 4 and 5. No, I'm kidding. That's actually not what happened. Okay, we got to clear up. Yeah, it's like, no, I didn't want to bring it up, but Nora just put a little too much edge on woman when she was reading for us today. I was like, whoa. No, Jesus is not some angry Sancho here like, "Woman, don't talk to me that way." No, that's not what's going on, okay? It's absolutely not what's happening. Okay, so Jesus says to her, okay, this term here is a very respectful term of address, like ma'am, or m'lady, or something. You know, some translations say dear woman. It's a very respectful term for someone, you know, that you're showing honor and gratitude towards, like you should towards your mother, especially on Mother's Day, okay? So let's, none of that edge, okay? So he's like, dear woman. He's saying, I respect you and honor you as my mother, and I try to always do what you say and be a good boy, but what do I have to do with you in this situation right now? These are your friends, not mine. I just came to make you happy. Like any good son goes, sometimes you go to a wedding to make your mom happy, right? My hour has not yet come, okay? And then it's kind of funny. It just skips down to verse 5, and his mother says to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Okay, well, we're forgetting, John's recording an understandable family life situation, and this is a clear case of his mother recognizing that, no, his hour absolutely had come, because she was seeing in him and what was going on before anyone else did, even he himself. And she's saying, "No, sir, your hour has come, because I'm your mom, and I say it has." Okay? No, that wasn't it either. She really recognized that Jesus was a man in full figure, and she had treasured these things in his heart, and she knew he was destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel. And she had the discernment to recognize that, no, I mean, like, these Romans aren't getting any more oppressive than they already are. We're not going to last 50 more years anyway. If Jesus is ever going to do something and be Messiah, he needs to get on his Messiah train right now. And so she gave him a look like, she gave him one of those Holy Spirit looks like, has it really not? And he went, ooh. And then Jesus does have an ounce of discernment too, and is like, well, I guess maybe it is my hour to come. And so she actually was well aware of the sign of the times and brought it to his attention. And then, of course, he recognized it too. And we're not going to go on about the wine and everything, or the grape juice, whatever we need to call it in your theology as a good Southern Baptist, whatever you need to believe to make to sleep at night. Just, okay. But I think this is a beautiful real life moment in the life of Jesus and his mother that shows how she was raising him and serving him and treasuring these things in her heart, and she knew when it was his time, and this was absolutely it. And I think if anyone has a story like that about when their mother knew and saw something in them or saw that their time had come, please remember to give it this afternoon. Now, this whole sermon's an advertisement and a hint for what you need to talk about for your Mother's Day speech. Please think of that. And what I love about this is, what does she do? Because they see in us what's there before we do ourselves sometimes, before anyone else does, they encourage us and they challenge us to move forward in our purpose and our calling, okay? This was the first miracle sign act that Jesus had done. I'm not saying it was the first miracle he ever did, ever, but this was the first miracle he did on a public stage as a sign. I mean, his mom clearly knew he could do something. It's not like she didn't want him to go to the store. She did not want him to go to the liquor store real quick and buy a case. Okay, she was like, I need you to, you know, do that thing you do, you know, when I'm out of flour and sugar to bake the cakes. Yeah, do that again. I mean, she's like, I know you can do it. You do it all the time at home. I need you to do it in public now. Okay, so the question was, and this is not his first miracle ever. This is the first miracle he did on the public stage to announce his Messiahness, Messiahhood, Messiahship. I don't know what the right word is. I'm tired. It's been a long week. But mothers encourage us to move forward in our purpose, and she is boldly in faith doing that. And I think that is really, really cool. And I think one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture is how this is how his ministry starts, and then his mother is right there with him. In John, like in the synoptics, it's easy to forget that his mom is not always there all the time, like biggest fan. She is. You know, in verse 12, it's after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. His mother is in the upper room with the disciples in Acts when the Holy Spirit falls upon the believers. It's Jesus' mom was always there to the end. And this is where I'm going to get a little preachy, but it's okay. Deuteronomy 5:16. Who knows Deuteronomy 5:16? Do you know Deuteronomy 5:16? Okay. All right. Well, on Mother's Day, if there's ever a verse you need to have memorized for Mother's Day, it's Deuteronomy 5:16. Okay. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Okay, Jesus was not doing that here in John. That's not what this verse means. There's other verses in the Bible that say you need to do what your mom says, okay? As long as you're not breaking any, like, laws or moral crimes or, like, sins against, like, God's laws. Okay, no. Okay, this verse has always meant one and only one thing. And I think America would be a better place if we obeyed it. This verse has, does anyone know what this verse always meant? It's what it still means in does anyone know what it means? It means, take care of your parents in their old age. That's what it means. That's, you can be the most obnoxious, disrespectful, rebellious, bad kid your whole life. And then when your parents get old and infirm and sick, if you actually take them into your house and care for them, you will have fulfilled this commandment. So no matter how bad you started, you can still end well. Okay? That's all this verse means. And it's one of, I think there's only two commandments in Scripture that God actually attaches a promise to it, like that your days may be prolonged and that may go well with you. And I think the other one is something really cool, like don't, like always cover the bird, like always cover your chicken's eyes when you take her baby eggs so she won't suffer. It's something to do with motherhood and just gentleness. It's something like that, I think. I can't remember. But it's, yeah, that has a promise and then this has a promise. Yeah, take care of, so God is watching how you treat your parents in their old age. Just letting you know. And he does. I'm not saying he has a curse attached to it, because our God's not, I don't know, but there is a promise that it may go well, that it will go well with you. I don't like to say God promises things have to happen, because we can't control God if then, like he's a video game just to play. But this is always one of those verses you need to take seriously. Please take care of your parents in their old age. Please be there for them. Consider taking them into your house and providing care for them as long as you are able, regardless of the inconvenience. I understand there's a difference between inconvenience and medical care, okay? But a lot of times medical care, but changing a bedpan and making sure they take their medicine is not medical care. Okay, you can do that. You're qualified. I think what's cool about Jesus is You know, there's all these promises in the Bible of how God's going to bless us, you know, life improvement, Jesus. If we believe he exists, you know, in America, we kind of just get it in our heads that if we believe God exists, and if we try to be nice, he's going to bless us and give us a pretty comfortable, good, easy life. Anybody ever heard those messages? I know some great preachers on TV. If you want to go receive a message like that, they're really good, if you're into that sort of thing. Okay, and, you know, that's great when it happens, and it does seem to happen more often in America than elsewhere. I've seen it not happen in a lot of places. But this is one of those, but what do we do when we do the right things and our days aren't prolonged and it does not go well with us in the land which the Lord has given us from the Indians? What do we do? And I think what's awesome about Jesus is, you know, he's on the cross. He's getting crucified. And the soldiers are tearing apart his garments. They're rolling dice, you know, and just taking his clothes to just go do whatever they want with them. And there in John chapter 19, verse 25, we see Jesus' mom again. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. But there were standing by the cross, his mother, by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his household. Okay? This was the last thing Jesus said and did before he drank some wine, said, "It is finished," and died. And Jesus did not get to... Jesus clearly was not, you know, things were not going well with him at that moment. It did not look like his life was going to be prolonged in the land that the Lord had given him. But Jesus was like, even if the promise didn't work, I'm still going to obey this commandment. This is most important of commandments. And he gave his friend as a son to his mother to make sure that she would be cared for in her old age, because that was that important to him. No matter what else was going on for the sins of the world, and, you know, it got dark, and, you know, he's bearing the wrath of God, or whatever, however you process it, he has to take time out to make sure mom's taken care of. And I think if Jesus can do that on the cross, then no matter how inconvenient our parents may be, we need to love and take care of them too. And that is all I have to say on Mother's Day. And it is now time to tell us awesome stories about our mothers. And I'm going to start with my own, because I can. My mom is so awesome. When I was 5 or maybe 6, I lost my first tooth. And then the tooth fairy came, and she left me a $20 bill. This is how awesome my mom is. Yeah, and the thing is, I'd never seen a $20 bill before. Because my mom was in law school, my dad was like working like, I don't know, a million jobs, and things were kind of tight, you know, and my mom was working a part-time job too, so I was like, $20. So I run downstairs that morning, and I'm like, "Mommy, the tooth fairy left me $20, and then her smile instantly faded, and she burst into tears, and I couldn't figure out why. Yeah, oops. I guess in the dark, $20 bills and $1 bills look similar. Because that $20 could have easily been like, do we have hot water or milk or cereal or something? And she just cried, and I couldn't figure it out. And then you had never seen a more loving, apologetic mother try to explain nicely to her son why the tooth fairy made a mistake. and why we needed that, I think it was groceries or something, I think that was the grocery money, why we needed to eat tonight, go to the grocery store, and I think she, and it was originally going to be $1, but because of the mistake, the tooth fairy said mommy could go buy me a G.I. Joe, which at that time, I remember, were $3.50, which was a lot in 1985. So I did get a G.I. Joe out of it, and that was awesome. But that is why my mom is awesome, and I love her. All right, who is next? Who has a story about their mom? Do we have a microphone? Or which one of these microphones works? Okay, I don't want to touch it because I'll make that bad noise, but who has something to say about their mom? Okay, no one. Okay, we can bring the mic to you. If you don't want to get up here on stage, we can cancel this fate. We can kill the feed if you want, and you want to share it more intimately. We can bring a mic to you, and we can cut this. Or we don't have to. It's whatever you prefer.
Awesome story, Pastor. Oh, lots of fond memories about my mom, who went to be with the Lord back in September 1993. But one of the main things I remembered is she was such an encourager. She was such an encourager. And she was such a support to me when I was a young mom. And to piggyback on the tooth fairy story, one time my daughter lost a tooth when she was about 5 or 6 years old. And tooth fairy had a hard day at work in corporate America, and tooth fairy kind of forgot. So when she put the tooth under the pillow, the next morning, the tooth was still there and there was no money. So the tooth fairy had to make up for it and put a little bit more under the pillow since my daughter had to wait an extra day. But the feeling I got when she saw that, and it was like, oh my goodness, I forgot to put something under the pillow. But back to my mom, I mean, she was so encouraging when I was playing the piano. She was so encouraging when I was singing, and we used to sing in the choir together. And one of the songs that always remind me of her is God Shall Wipe All Tears Away, and I know that's what he's doing with her. And it goes sort of like this. Though the clouds may hover o'er us, there's a bright and morning ray. It's the promise that in heaven God shall wipe all tears away. When we reach that blessed homeland, where 'tis everlasting day, on that bright eternal morning, God shall wipe all tears away. And I love the way that my mom sang that, and I thank God for the memories of my mom.
Yes, my mother had polio when she was 6 months old, and she was never in an iron lung. But she grew up in the Tulsa home that was on Lewis many years ago. She grew up there, and due to family disturbances, her 5 brothers and her sister were all separated and put into foster homes. She and my dad went to school in Edmond, the normal school. She had a foster home in Edmond. And he was sitting in front of her, and she reached around and tried to see the artwork he was doing, and he slapped her hand, and it made her cry. And then he met her after, after class, and then it was history. They were married, and my sister is 10 years younger than I am. But due to her circumstances, she developed a very serious bipolar disorder. And she fought it, and she was a fighter. She was very strong, and she was very protective of her kids. And she supported them and was always there for us. And my mother and I, we used to like to giggle a lot. We'd do stupid, silly stuff and just giggle and laugh and giggle and laugh and have a good time. And my younger sister is more subdued than that. She thought we were nuts. But anyway, but she was a good mother despite her background. She took care of us, she protected us, and she taught us a lot of life lessons. So.
Okay, anybody else?
Whenever I think of my mom, the first thought, if you want to summarize it in just one statement, was she was a saint. To me, she was strong in every single way that you could ever think of. She didn't have any easy life, but she always was one who rose to the occasion no matter what. She was a hard worker. She of course back then, you know, you didn't have a fast food restaurant on every corner or in every place in between. So she cooked all of our meals. She made all of our clothes. And when the time came when more income needed to come into the house, she had a job, and she excelled at every single thing that she did in one way or the other. She was always provided for us in every single thing that we needed. She was there for us in every situation. But my fondest memories are the fact that as a pastor's wife of a very small church, she was always there doing what needed to be done in the church. She played the piano. She was my Sunday school teacher. I taught with, back in those days, we used flannel graph, none of this fancy stuff. And it was at her hand that I learned what it was to give and to be caring of other people. She did care for her mother in her old age. She cared for my grandmother on the other side. I mean, she was just a caring person. And she wanted to make sure that each of her children had what they needed in order to excel. And I never knew her to play any favorites among us either. But to her, to excel in life, we needed to cook. I remember the time when she decided I was going to learn to cook. I'm not sure she succeeded in that one, but nonetheless, she tried. She also make sure both her daughters in high school, we received a sewing machine. My sister excelled in that. I do okay. But even though Mom did not, unlike, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw that he could do miracles, she knew that we needed to have skills. And Jesus didn't keep making wine, and I didn't keep making clothes. But nonetheless, I did have a skill, and I knew the work ethic that was there. And I can think of one thing, too, though, that my mom did not excel at. She never had a garden. She did not want to pull weeds. She did not want to plant anything, and it definitely was not beneath her to stick a plastic flower in the ground. And I can tell you this, that all three of her kids at one point or another have had gardens at their house and have had flowers growing. So we learn from our moms, from the good things and the not so good things. But nevertheless, we learn from our moms, and I'm very grateful for the mom that I had.
My mother was a Finlander. She was second generation American. And I think because of that, they named her Carmen. Now, a lot of people from Finland will call their daughters Bertha or something along those lines, Helga. That's kind of Swedish, I guess, but something along those lines. But I think in order to Americanize her, they gave her the name Carmen. And never thought much about it until much later. But the beautiful thing about my mother was there were three things about her that I remember. She was a seamstress. She made all her own dresses. She made most of the dresses for my sisters, of which I had two at the time. She wouldn't make any men's clothes because she said they were too difficult. Because I wanted her to make me a shirt one time. And when I was a cape crusader, I wanted her to make me a cape. But I didn't get that far from her. But the other thing was food. Now, she wasn't the greatest cook in the world. Nobody, her sister, my aunt, Shirley, was the chef of the family. Shirley did not have any kids, so she had more time to spend, whereas I was one of six kids, so Mom was spending a lot of time feeding us. I remember always coming home from school to go to lunch, and that was really wonderful sometimes. When we had chipped beef on toast, though, with peas, I think she put peas in it, too, as well. And nothing in Wyoming, of course, was fresh because everything had to come out of a can because we were in the middle of the desert. And I could tell you a lot of stories, most of which are not true, about those. But Mother always had food on the table. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and she prepared every single one of those meals. And so I remember food. I don't remember ever having to come to her for a cut or a wound. I think we were all taught basic survival skills out there in the middle of the desert. So we knew how to bind ourselves with cloth and put dirt and debris in our cuts to stop the bleeding. But that had nothing to do with Mom. Mom took care of us. I loved her dearly. I missed her. She died early on. She died at the age of 65, which is way too early for a person nowadays. And that's the thing I remember. Food. Oh, the last thing was music. She was a professional musician, played the piano. And one of the things I love about Vanessa is that she plays the piano, and it's always a joy to me to hear her practicing a song that she's going to do here at church, because it reminds me of the years and years of listening to my mother play the piano as she practiced church music as well as her professional music that she did, which were all the classics from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s. She knew them all.